This is Bruce Marable from Employee Cycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company.
Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, especially during this health crisis, as we are looking to help HR leaders, business leaders, anyone who is managing a team, better understand how they can help reduce employee stress and anxiety during this coronavirus crisis. And we're really starting to talk about how you can do this during any crisis. So thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, pleasure to be here today with you.
Right. And this is your first podcast ever, too. So this is going to be a really special one.
It is. Look forward to it and happy to make some time because I think we're doing some great things for our employees here at BNA.
Great. So if we can get started by you sharing your name, company, and title.
Yep. My name is Jonathan Evans. I am the president and CEO of BNA. BNA is a government contracting systems integrator. We provide solutions both to the public and private sectors.
Great. And where is your company located?
We are located in McLean, Virginia. We provide support to clients across the U.S. and in Canada.
And pre-COVID, did you already have any existing employees working remotely?
No, majority of our staff worked on-site on clients, and we had a small headquarters facility with folks that teleworked a day or two here or there or based on need, but no one was 100% virtual like we are today.
So one of the things I've been asking other leaders is what was their initial employee response plan? But I would like to actually ask you, what was your mindset when you first realized that this was a very serious issue, we were dealing with a crisis, and then how has that changed to today? And I believe today is the 16th?
Yep. I think, you know, when March started, we had a number of folks traveling across the U.S.-Canadian border for a project we're doing up there. I myself and some of the business development staff had a number of conferences, and I think day by day in that early March period, we started to see some of those get canceled. So certainly started building up on what we thought the severity of this would be. I personally had to attend a border summit down in San Antonio that second week of March, which still was held. Traveling and dealing with that, majority of our staff had stopped at that point. But throughout that week, kind of leading up to the 13th, when the president finally called the national emergency, I think our mindset was, one, to protect our people, two, to ensure we're still delivering services to our clients. So if we need to adjust people's schedules, we were kind of flexible more on a case-by-case basis. But as that kind of hit later part of that week leading up to the 13th, we had to go into full kind of telework mode and transitioning staff. While we had the IT systems set up to do it, it's definitely a complete mindset for our customers, as well as our folks that are used to getting on public transportation or an airplane to go to their location. So a lot of change management with folks. And then ultimately over that weekend, I made the decision along with a couple of our client executives or CEOs to curb all of our travel and the safety of not only their staff, but our staff alike. So I think, you know, moving a 200 plus workforce to 100% telework and stopping all domestic Canadian travel, conferences, et cetera, is tough for any organization. I like to think we're a little more nimble and can react on a dime, that we were able to do that in a matter of hours average days versus a month, as some of the other organizations had to transition over a longer period of time.
So when it comes to reducing the employee's stress and anxiety during this crisis, in any crisis, how did you and your executive team go about communicating and messaging what was happening to give employees some sort of comfort in knowing that you and your team were trying to figure out how to do the best things with the least amount of data or the most amount of data you can get at that point? You know, what did that look like?
You know, first and foremost, our employee safety was of the utmost paramount. Second to that was ensuring we still met our client commitments. So, you know, we took a number of steps to do that. You know, we increased all of our daily executive management check-ins to a daily cadence. So we were fully informed at the top of the organization. We leveraged the collaboration tools in MS Teams, SharePoint, Slack, Jira. We had available to us to start the sharing of documents, tracking action items, individual schedules. We're actually leveraging a tool by SAP called Qualtrics for a weekly pulse survey to ensure our folks have what they need to do their jobs. We kind of segregated out labor and expenses to comply with not only legislation, but so we could track individuals that were either out of the office related to illness, caring for a loved one related to illness, or just pure expenses we had to incur as a result of this. As the workforce began to get exposed or had individuals in buildings that were exposed, we stood up our crisis management team to kind of head any of those issues directly with individuals and clients, as well as building facilities, making sure everyone was aware of, you know, CDC guidelines, the programs that our health care provides through whether TeleDoc or the employee assistance program. So as folks were coping and dealing with exposure or loved ones being exposed or even project members being exposed, they had resources available to them through that crisis management team. And then a overarching kind of approach we took was standing up what we called our BNA Cares program, which was really focused on promoting and supporting the well-being of employees. We engaged a registered counselor outside of the organization, brought them in-house to spearhead the CARES program and really outreach to all of our employees. So on a daily basis, she's reaching out to our project employees, our headquarter employees, any subcontractors that work on BNA program to really touch base with them more on a personal level outside of the day-to-day management or tasking that they may get from their manager. So she's there to augment not only our management staff, our HR staff, and then really spearhead what we call our BNA Cares program. I think a lot of folks have been able to connect with her, and we have a regular checkpoint to ensure if there's anything that needs to be escalated, we can take action on. If someone needs a monitor to do their job better, we're going to get that out to them. If they have trouble getting food, you know, we'll take it upon ourselves to leverage services we have available or individuals we have available to get folks that. And then we delivered care packages to all of our employees. They were got there mid last week. We leveraged Omaha State to get our folks some necessities that they could cook over the holiday kind of week and weekend last week, but that they would have in their freezers to have with family as it became tougher to obtain, you know, meat and protein from supermarkets or even get out. And then ultimately, as part of that CARES program, we wanted to give back to the community. We took kind of a two-step approach, partnered with a local Italian deli to provide meals to hospital workers in the DC, Maryland, Virginia area. So we delivered our first 200 meals on Tuesday of this week, and not only set out to provide more through the hospital network in this area across Maryland, Virginia, and DC, but stood up an opportunity for our partners and employees also to give so we can continue this throughout this. So not only supporting the local restaurant community, but also the healthcare workers that are on the front line. So with those programs and change in management structure, I think, you know, we've continued to establish virtual events to support this workforce. So people are taking some time off from work through virtual happy hours, virtual bingo, virtual never have I ever bingo last night. So we've stood up a number of events to make sure we're staying connected, and we've got a B&A brand ambassador program that's a level below our managers that helps the management staff connect with their resources. So, you know, we've put a lot of things in place that we can leverage through this pandemic and any other crisis. But I think a number of things that will last regardless of the crisis. We've gotten great feedback from our employees. They really appreciate the outgive we've given to them, but also the support in the community. So, you know, we're certainly very happy with what we do. We want to continue to improve on those. So we've got the talent and operations team continuously looking at things we can do to add to this program and make sure we are keeping our employee and contractor safety and well-being our biggest concern throughout these times.
Wow, that's awesome. And we definitely commend you on all the things that you're doing to help not only your employees, but also your community as well. That's really good stuff. And I'm sure they're very grateful of all the things you're doing with the sandwiches and everything else. In regards to managing a crisis, for your fellow business leaders, HR leaders, and anyone out there managing a team right now, what advice would you have for them in regards to the mindset, the skill sets, and the actions that they should be taking to make sure that they are helping their employees best navigate this crisis?
Yep. No, I think first and foremost is transparency. You know, being transparent with all levels of the organization is key. You're all in this together. Communication is key across the organization, up and down, left and right, within the organization. Frequency of communication, you know, making sure you've put the appropriate measures in there. And then, you know, empowering your leaders and management to make decisions and carry on that communication and transparency throughout the organization. I mean, we're all in this together. We need to work together to leverage each other, whether that's company to company or within organizations. And then taking some time out with employees to celebrate things like National Pajama Day today, or a virtual bingo, or a virtual Zoom happy hour, I think goes a long way with connecting with folks through these crises.
You shared so much, not only around be a good humanitarian, but also how to be a good leader. And I'm sure our audience really appreciate this. So, you know, on behalf of all the people listening, I want to really thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, managing around 200 employees, but then also all the things that you have to manage from a personal standpoint to make sure that you're in a good mental and physical space to be able to do all this and to take time to do this. I just can't tell you how much we really appreciate it. So thanks a lot for sharing all the information that you did and for doing all the things that you do. We hope that you stay safe and healthy and really appreciate this. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was a pleasure and happy to complete my first podcast with you guys at Employee Cycle.
You nailed it. Great job.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.